and I have put it first, okay? Because I think we need to start with this. Are you ready? Whoa, that was loud.
I surrender all to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender.
I guess you have different words than me.
May Thy Holy Spirit fill me. May I know Thy power divine. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. I surrender all.
Good job.
Of sin and darkness, whose light is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings. Who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, who leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unveiling love, that You would take my place, that You would bear my cross. You laid down on your life, that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Who brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son or daughter? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Who rules the nations with truth and justice? Shine like a sun in all of its brilliance. The King of glory, the King above all kings. Yeah, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who has conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who has conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who has conquered the grave. Worthy, worthy, this is amazing grace. This is unfailing love, that you would take my place, that you would bear my cross. Hey, you lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Excellent singing. You guys go ahead and have a seat. This week is going to be a little bit different. Again, if you're a visitor, this is not going to look like we normally have. We're doing something a little bit different. And again, and we're doing that because it's Commitment Day, and this is how the Lord led me. So I want to talk to you about Thanksgiving real quick, and I want to talk to you about this celebration that we have. And I want to give you four different ways that you can thank God. So today we're going to be talking about four different ways that you can share your thanks for God. And there's probably more than four different ways, but I'm going to give you four this morning. So number one is this. If you're a note taker or you're marking in your Bible, this is a good opportunity to do that. So number one is this. Singing is a way to express thankfulness to God. Singing is a way to express thankfulness to God. And so because of that, the service is a little bit different because we spent a couple songs singing. I hope that as you came today, you were expressing your thankfulness to God while you sing. And that is something that the church is kind of known for. You know, I've been to churches on a number of different continents, and every church service that I've been to on this continent or another one has singing involved with it. Usually, there's three things that are involved in a church service, three or four. One of them is singing. One of them is praying or prayer somewhere. One of them is the opening of God's Word and the sharing of God's Word. And then giving is one of those things that are incorporated in most services across the world. The psalmist says it this way, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Now that is good news for some of you. Because you, if you were to sing, you don't sing very loud in front of people, and maybe even in the shower you don't sing very loud. But the Lord wants us to express what's inside of our heart, the thankfulness that's inside of our heart, and so He's given us singing to be able to do that. In other words, when we make a joyful noise, we don't necessarily have to be the best singers. We just have to be expressing what God has put into us. You know that Christianity has a singing culture. Christianity has a singing culture. All across America today and all across the world today, there were amateur singers that were leading worship services. There were amateur singers leading worship service. Now, where else in our culture? Now, I understand American culture and world culture has music. But you listen to music on the radio, you may sing along with the radio. You maybe when you were in high school or junior high, there was a choir that you could be a part of. But there isn't really any place, you have to be, to get any notoriety in music. Music is one of those professions. Either you totally make it and you make millions and millions of dollars, or you're a starving musician, right? Kind of like an artist. Either you're worth millions and millions, or you're worth next to nothing. Okay? And that is what music is like in our culture. Now, in the church, it's not that way at all. We had amateur musicians leading music services all across the United States. And you know why? Because singing is part of Christian culture. God gave us music, and this is one of those places that you're encouraged to express yourself through music. Did you know that? I don't know if you ever thought about that before, but Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20, you've probably heard this verse from me a number of times, but it says this, and do not get drunk with wine, which leads to dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, now, let's just stop for a second. There's a couple commands here. First command, don't get
drunk.
Second command, be filled with the Spirit. Okay, and He's going to tell us what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. Okay, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks. See what He's saying? When you're filled with the Spirit, it just kind of whoop, it just kind of oozes out of you. Okay, the songs, the hymns, the spiritual songs come out of you, and there's this correlation between thankfulness in your heart and the singing to God. Okay, are you with me? Singing's one of the ways that we thank God. Psalms chapter 95, Psalms 95, 1 and 2. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. You see this idea of music and thanksgiving going together? Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you have been called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You see that? We got psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs again. Singing with thankfulness in your heart to God. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. You see how God in His Word correlates singing with our expression of thankfulness for what God has done. Do you know that praise is a mood lifter? That when we sing, it lifts our mood. It helps us to feel better about what's going on. It helps us to feel better about the things that are happening in our lives. And I want to show you a couple remarkable men, and you only got one of the verses on the screen. So if you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. I want to give you a little bit of background. You know that Acts was written by a man named Dr. Luke. And Dr. Luke is going to tell of something. He's going to give a testimony of what happened in a place called Thyatira. Now that's a mouthful. But in Thyatira, a woman named Lydia was a maker of purple things. In other words, she dyed cloth. She took linen from the color that it was, probably an off-white, and she made it purple. Now, purple was a difficult color to get. And the reason that the royalty in that day wore purple was because it was expensive. Common people couldn't afford purple, so this woman was probably kind of wealthy because she was providing these garments to people. She's down at the river washing these things out, and along comes a number of men, two of them, one of them named Saul, and the other named, or Paul, the other named Silas. And they meet her, and she says, "What are you doing here?" And they say, "Well, we're sharing the good news of Jesus Christ." "Well, what is the good news of Jesus Christ?" And they share with her, and she gives her life to Jesus. She gives her life to Jesus. That's kind of the background of what's happening in Thyatira when this next situation comes up. God's just done a miracle. He's just led someone to the Lord. And look what happens in verse 16. "It happened, as they were going along to the place of prayer, a slave girl having a spirit of divination met us." Now, this is interesting because if you read through the book of Acts, sometimes you'll see like Luke is writing this. Sometimes he says, "met them." He uses the pronoun "them." Sometimes he uses the pronoun "us." So what we know about this is Luke was here. Luke was an eyewitness to what is happening in this situation. "The slave girl, having a spirit of divination, met us, who was bringing her master much profit by fortune telling." So you see what's happening? You have a slave girl, and she has the ability to tell fortunes to people. Okay, and she was making her master a lot of money because of this ability. Now, this ability is coming from a demonic being that lives inside of her. Okay, look what happens in verse 17. "Following after Paul and us, she cried out, saying, 'These men are bondservants of the Most High God, who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation.' She continued doing this for many days, but Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And it came out that very moment." Now, let's just stop for a second. This young lady follows them around, and she's saying something that's true, isn't she? She's saying, these men, they are preaching the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, just imagine that. They're, you know, after 3 days, someone following around, and everywhere you go, she's yelling out to everybody, "These men, they are servants of the Most High God. They're trying to tell you the way of salvation." You know, now, once isn't bad, but imagine 3 days of it in your ear. Is it probably not too amazing that Paul got annoyed by this? Okay, I'm surprised he lasted more than one day. You know, I got about 5 minutes on me when people are doing that kind of thing. But he had a lot more spiritual maturity than me. Okay, so he turns around and he says, "You come out in the name of Jesus." And the demon leaves. Well, now we're going to run into a problem in verse 19. "But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are throwing our city into confusion and are proclaiming custom which it is not lawful us to accept or to observe, being Romans.' The crowd rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods." Okay, this situation has gone from top of the mountain to pretty annoying to now they have been accused of doing something and they're being beaten for it. And we don't see that in America. You know, in Iowa, The prisoners in the prison sued the state of Iowa because they weren't providing cable TV for them. And they won. So they got ping pong tables there, and they've got cable TV. So their prison system there is probably doing better than I am. No, I don't have cable TV. Okay? We're pretty good to prisoners in America. Now, I'm not arguing with whether or not we should or shouldn't be. What I'm saying is that in Paul's day, if you were a prisoner, you went to... No, I haven't been to prison. In Paul's day, when you went to prison, what happened was you were thrown into a pit. There was a hole, and you went down the ladder, either willingly or they just kind of tossed you down the ladder, and you were put into a dungeon, and if you didn't have a relative that came and brought you food, you didn't eat. Okay? It's a different system there. Okay? Now, they're in that they've been beaten without a trial. They've been thrown into prison. And look what happens in verse 20. And when they brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, these men are throwing... verse 22. The crowd rose up against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Okay? Now, they're in the bottom of a prison. Their feet have been placed in stocks. They've been beaten. And they start singing and praising God. They start singing and praising God. Let me ask you a question. If you had been treated that way, would your response be praise and singing to God? Okay, now, when we're thankful to God, sometimes God does miracles. And what happens in Paul and Silas's case, I'm not going to read this, but I just want to share with you what happened. What happened in their case is when they start singing and when they start praising God, the chains fall off them, the door to the prison opens, and all the prisoners have the ability to leave the prison. Now, again, let me ask you a question. If that happened to our prison here, all the doors were opened, all the bars were, and the gates and all that, what do you think the prisoners would do? They'd run for the hills.
They only about a third would take off because they're institutionalized. They're afraid of the outside world.
Okay, I lost my spot. Anyway, Paul and Silas, the prison guard knows that if everyone leaves, that he's dead. The Romans are going to come and kill him. And so he takes his sword, and he's going to fall on it. You know what that means? He's going to commit suicide. And Paul says, hey, don't do it. And the prisoner says, what do you mean? He says, we're all here. We haven't left. And so he says, well, why haven't you left? He says, our goal isn't to get out of our prison. Our goal is to share Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that the prison guard gave his life to Jesus Christ because of what happened. Now, all that started because Paul and Silas were singing because they had a trust and a belief in God. Okay? That's amazing. That's amazing. Okay? Now, let me give you, again, praise is a mood lifter. So, one of the ways that we express our thankfulness to God is through singing. And I want to encourage you, we need a time every week where we get together as a group of believers and we express our thankfulness to God. Where we express our thankfulness to God. Okay? That's why we have music on Sunday morning. That's why we have music. Now, let me tell you this. When the search committee talked to me and they came to me, they said, this is kind of a sensitive subject in churches. I'm just going to tell you that ahead of time. Music is a sensitive subject in churches. Okay? And they asked me a question. They said, well, are you like a hymn guy or are you like a praise and worship guy. I said, you know what? When I was growing up, I didn't like hymns. We did hymns in our church, and I wanted to do praise and worship, and I didn't have the opportunity. And so when I got out of my house and I got to choose my church, I chose a really, you know, live, you know, really cool music and all that kind of stuff. And then as I grew up and I started working in churches, I realized that it's not the style of music. It doesn't matter if it's hymns or if it's choruses. When you reach a certain maturity spiritually, you have an opportunity to give thanks, an opportunity to praise a God that is in heaven. Why would you squander that? Why would you think about what do I want rather than what does God want? Why would you do that? And I can go into a church that plays the organ and I can go and worship God. I can go into a church that has guitars and bass guitars and drums and I can worship God. And I may have preferences, but why would I allow music and the style of music to divert my worship to God? See, my heart is what controls that. And if in my heart I'm thinking this is too loud or this is too slow or this is too... I'm not thinking about the right thing. Let's go back to worship. Shall we do that? And this time... And some of you were probably already there. Some of you were probably already worshiping God with your whole heart and your whole mind and your whole strength. But for the rest of us, I'd like us to remember that it's not about the style. It's about being thankful to God. Amen. Will you stand with me as we...
the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failures and carried the cross for my shame. My sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. And what can I say? And what can I do? But offer this heart, O God, completely. I'll walk upon salvation, your spirit alive in me, my life to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. And what can I say? What can I do but offer this heart, O God, completely to you? So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. And I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. I'll stand my soul, Lord, to you surrendered. All I am is yours. And all I am is yours. And all I am is yours. Shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even though I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, he never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, he never let go, every high, every low. No, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. And I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. A glorious light beyond all compare. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, I live to know you here on the earth, and I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? No, you never let go, through the calm and through the storm. Oh, no, you never let go, every high, every low. Oh, no, you never let go, oh Lord, you never let go of me. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. And everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take Take me as you find me, with all my fears and failures, and fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. And Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. And blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. And blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessing be the name of the Lord. Blessing be your name. Blessing be the name of the Lord. Blessing be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun shining down on me. And blessed be your name when the road marked with suffering, there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessing be the name of the Lord. Blessing be your name. Blessing be the name of the Lord. Blessing be your glorious name. Take away, you give and take away. My heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessing be the name of the Lord. Blessing be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Go ahead and have a seat. Oh, how'd that feel? Good? Okay. So one way that we can thank God is by singing. Another way that we can thank God, surprise, surprise, is by praying. Let me give you a couple of verses for that. Psalms chapter 105, verse 1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make known His deeds among His people." You see the thanks, give thanks to the Lord, and call upon His name? That's the praying part, right? Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Now, a couple things just want to point out real quick. Don't be anxious about anything. How do we avoid the being anxious or being nervous? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You see how prayer and thanksgiving go together? Now, certainly when we pray, we can ask God for things, or we can pray for people who have illnesses, or we can pray for people's salvations, or we can pray for a number of things. But one of the things, and you know what happens a lot of times? We don't worship God when we pray. We don't adore Him. We don't thank Him. We don't confess our sins. We just bring Him our list. Like Santa Claus, you know, we go sit on Santa's lap and I want a pony and I want this and I want that. And I don't know if you remember a story in the New Testament where Jesus healed 10 lepers, 10 people that were inflicted with leprosy, and then they went away, and the Samaritan leper came back, and he came back and he said, "Thank you," to Jesus. And Jesus said, "Well, didn't I heal 10? How come there's only one that came to say thanks?" I would hate to be guilty of that, wouldn't you? Have all the blessings that God has bestowed upon me and then not to thank Him for what He's done. Not to thank Him for what He's done. Okay, now I don't have a whole lot of verses for this. There's the Bible's chock full of them. We said we can thank God through singing. And now I've said we can express thankfulness to God through praying. So what do you say we spend a little bit of time in prayer? Will you do this? Will you bow your head and think of the blessings that you have? Will you express those to God? And I'm going to give you about a minute to do that, and then I'm going to pray as well. Father, we are thankful. We're thankful that You have provided a way for us to spend an eternity with You in heaven. Father, that You did not even withhold Your own Son. And that He came and He died upon a cross. That He gave His life upon Calvary's tree so that we might experience salvation. And Father, I thank You for that. Father, I pray for those that are hurting today, that You will give them joy inside of their heart. We thank You that You have the ability to be able to do that. Lord, for those that are sick, if it be Your will, we pray that You will heal them. Father, for those who have habits that are controlling their lives, we know that there is deliverance in the name of Jesus. And we thank You that You give us that power. For those that are depressed or in relationship problems, we lift them up and we know that You can conquer that, that You can bring joy when the morning comes, and that You can fix any relationship that You deem fit. Father, we do thank You for all that You're doing. And we do pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You know that there is, I was looking on, I know this isn't the most scholarly place to look, but I was looking on the web this week, and you go to harvardmedical.edu, and I was looking at a study that they did, and they took 20 people, and for 10 of them, they ran this study for a year, for 10 of them, before they went to bed every night, they spent a couple minutes writing down things they were thankful for. And for the other 10, they asked them, before they went to bed, to write down something that annoyed them. So 10 complained, and 10 gave thanks for the things they had. You know what they found out after a year? The mental health of those that gave thanks was a lot higher, a lot better on average than the mental health of those that that complained. You know, what else they found was that the physical health, because the mental health was affected, they believed that the physical health of those that were thankful were much healthier. They spent more they spent less time at the doctor, they spent less time than those that were complaining. Okay? In fact, the author of this study suggested, said two things that really stuck out to me. The first one was this. Now, by the way, I'm a Bible guy, I'm not a pop psychologist guy. I will say this though, that these facts back up what the Bible is saying. The Bible, when we looked at that last verse, said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds." There's a peace that passes all understanding. And part of that process is thankfulness. Part of that process is thankfulness, right? This psychiatrist said two things. Number one, it's very rare that anybody who is genuinely thankful will end up seeing psychiatrists. It's very rare. There's a few, but if you're a thankful person, you usually don't end up in with the psychiatrist. The second thing that they said was that if you want to avoid seeing a psychiatrist, the number one thing you can do is to write down 10 things you're thankful for every night before you go to bed. Isn't that amazing? Jesus authored his word 2,000 years ago, and now the pop psychiatrists are catching up to it. Okay? Now, I want to make a suggestion that if we pray with thankfulness, that that same thing happens. Okay? So, the first thing we can do to express thankfulness to God is singing. The second thing we can do is praying. The third thing we can do is giving. Giving expresses our thankfulness to God. Psalms chapter 50, verses 7 through 15. I've only given you one on there. If you would like, you can turn with me. I'm going to read this to you. This is an interesting place to go for this. And so you're going to have to get the whole picture. Psalms chapter 50, verses 7 through 15. It says this, "Hear, O Israel, hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you of your sacrifices, and your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goat out of your fold. For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know that every bird of the mountains and everything that moves in the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats?" Okay, now let's stop there. I want to tell you what's going on, because some of you have this little dazed look in your face. What is God saying here? He's saying, look, in the Old Testament, they brought sacrifices to the Lord, right? They brought bulls, they brought goats, they brought sheep, they brought these things, and they sacrificed them on the altar. And the people were saying, well, you know, like the pagan gods, if you want the God happy, you give him this. If you don't, you know, because they have to eat. The pagan gods have to eat, so they use their puny little humans to bring them their food. And God says, do I need that from you? He says, you think if you don't bring that to me, I'm not going to eat? He says, all the cattle on 1,000 hills, they're all mine. I own them. I know where all the birds are. I know where everything is. I'm not taking the goat out of your house. In other words, your sacrifice and your giving is not for God. It's not for God. It's for you. It's for you. Look at what he says in verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vow to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. Look at what he, again, look at that verse 14. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Does God care what you give? He cares about the attitude of your heart, doesn't he? He cares about the attitude of your heart. So we can express our thankfulness to God through singing. We can express our thankfulness to God through our prayers. And we can express our thankfulness to God through giving. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 10 says this, then celebrate the festival of weeks to the Lord your God by giving a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing the Lord has given you. Now, the part that you probably think I want you to look at is to give a freewill offering in proportion to the blessing that God has given you. And that's an important part. But do you know what the Feast of Weeks is? Raise your hand if you know what the Feast of Weeks is. And you don't have to be ashamed if you don't know. We don't have any. Raise your hand if you know what Thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving, you know, the pilgrims came to America and they had a difficult year, but they planted and they worked and they had food when the fall came, and they said, we're going to join with our native brothers and sisters and we are going to have a feast and we are going to be thankful for what God has given us. That wasn't their idea. God had that idea 3,000 years before the pilgrims did. They were simply reflecting what God had. That festival was called the Feast of Weeks. And the feast happened in fall. And the people brought and they gave out of the blessing that God had given them. And then they had a feast. Isn't that interesting? 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 and 11 says this, now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, through which through us is producing thanksgiving to God. You see it? We got giving and thanks. Thanks and giving go together. Thanks and giving go together. Okay. With that said, it is my honor and my privilege to ask the ushers to come forward and to give you the opportunity to give.
Thank you.
Thank you, Marsha. So, number one, we can give thanks by singing. Number two, we give thanks by praying. Number three, we give thanks by giving. And number four, we give thanks through testimonies. We give thanks through testimonies. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17 says this, "Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." Okay? Whatever you do, in word or deed, look at how the words and the deeds need to be connected with thanks. They're connected with thanks. Okay? And when we share what God is doing in our life, we give thanks for that. Okay? Psalms chapter 105, verse 1. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His people. Make known His deeds among the people." Again, it's this idea of sharing with other people what God has done in your life. Now, when we did the first one, I gave you instruction to sing, and then we sang. In the second one, I gave you instruction to pray, and then we prayed. In the third one, I gave you the instruction to give, and then we were able to give. And so I'm going to give you the opportunity to share a testimony today. And the way that we're going to do that is I have these sheets of paper. And on these sheets of paper, I'm going to kind of go over them with you real quick. On these sheets of paper, there are some questions. Okay, the first one says this: did you read through the New Testament during the Building for Life campaign? If not, what did you do instead? Remember, I said that if we wanted to engage God, we needed to get in His Word. And so that's a question that's on here. That's kind of want to know what happened in your life. One of our core values is accountability, and this is my way of keeping you accountable. Okay? Number two is this: how did God encourage your prayer life during Building for Life? How did God encourage your prayer life through Building for Life? Number three, did you experience any miracles or blessings this month? Okay? Number four, how did God stretch your faith? Number five, have you experienced any spiritual warfare recently? I don't know if you remember, but I said one of the things to expect was to be expect to be attacked by Satan. Okay, have you experienced any of that? Can I share with you how Satan has attacked me? Some of you know that my cousin has been sick with brain cancer. She's been sick for many months. I got a phone call at 8:15 this morning that she went home to be with the Lord last night. And then finally, by the way, if you don't see me next week, if you have a different preacher, I'll be in Iowa for the funeral. Okay? Number six, is there anything else you'd like to share about Building for Life? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to have the ushers come back forward and hand these out. And I got some pencils or some pens in the box in the back if you don't have one. And I want to give you, this is weird, okay? This is not the normal service. I'm going to give you about 5 minutes to share what God has done through Building for Life. Now, these pieces of paper are going to go into our file for our church. And when people look back upon the building and the building of this building, we are going to have testimonies for future generations to read about how this church was built. So these are going to be a part of our church history. Okay? So I want to encourage you to take a few minutes. Again, it's going to be 5-6 minutes. I want you to do it right now, if you would. How is God working in your life?